Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, we know in your word that you say that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But sometimes we feel like you are distant. Sometimes we feel we are going through a trial and you're not close, but you are close. And when we know you are always faithful, that you give us strength, you give us hope, you give us peace, you give us your salvation, you give us yourself. And so today I pray for those who are walking through a valley right now that you would just embrace them with your arms of love, that they may feel your hope, grace, and peace in their lives, and that you guide them and show yourself faithful to them. And Lord, as we gather together around your word, may your word just come alive to us, oh God. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. May we walk in obedience to what you're calling us to do. May you be glorified in and through this service, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Man, I want to dismiss our 5th and 6th graders. We have a club called Club 56 that is for all of our 5th and 6th grade kids. And so you are dismissed to go to your class. All right. All right, Jerry. All right. If you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. It's in the New Testament, kind of right in the middle of the New Testament, the whole Bible towards the end of the Bible. And so we are in this series through the summer months through the book of Philippians, and it's part of a larger series that goes with our mission statement for the year, our mission statement for 2025. Can anybody tell me what the mission statement, it's only two words, for 2025 is? In Christ. Thank you, Paul, the rest of you. Good luck getting to heaven. But in Christ is what we are focusing upon, and it comes from 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So what that verse means and what this means to be in Christ is that because of what Jesus has done, I am now in him. My old life, the sins and the struggles are passed away, and now I'm walking in a new life with Christ. And what the book of Philippians is helping us to understand is how to live that out in the practical sense. That Philippians is this book that the overall theme is joy, and joy in all circumstances. Happiness is different from joy. Happiness is based upon what is happening. Joy is beyond what is happening. Is I can find joy in all circumstances, whether it's going great or not so great. We can have joy in all circumstances. And so for the last couple of weeks, this is our fourth week in Philippians. Week one, we talked about in Christ, we have our relationships matter. In week two, in Christ, we have freedom. Week three, in Christ, we are to shine as lights. And today, we're going to look at two individuals in particular of their examples of what it looks like to live a life in Christ. And their names are Timothy and Epaphroditus. Thank you. Epaphroditus. Two guys. Timothy and everybody say Epaphroditus. I may call him my boy E if I mess up. So Epaphroditus. And so those two guys we're going to look at, and their lives, Paul is writing to this church in Philippi, and he's going to send both Timothy and Epaphroditus to them. In Scripture, we often see examples of people that demonstrate a life that is faithful in serving God. Not that these people are perfect, No one's perfect but Jesus. But we look at these examples. For example, like David. David was a man after God's own heart. David was a sinner, man. He committed adultery and killed a guy. So not perfect, but he was a guy after God's own heart. And so we look at him as some of the things that he did, learn examples. Abraham, man of faith, we look at him, wasn't perfect. We look at Moses, who was a great leader but had a lot of insecurities. We look at it. And so Timothy and Epaphroditus, a boy, are examples for us to look at and say, what did they do? How did they live that in such a way that we can grasp from and learn from and be people who live after Christ? So let me give you a little bit of background on each one. Timothy, you probably have heard of. Timothy already has two books in the Bible. Paul writes to him. He's a pastor of a church in Ephesus. When we see the books in the Bible, he's this young guy. Paul is introduced to Timothy most likely when he was a teenager, and he is well spoken of among people in the community. And we read about this introduction in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16, verse 1 through 3, it says this: Paul also came to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him and took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was Greek. So you have this young man, Timothy, teenager, well spoken of. And if you're a teenager in here today, man, strive to live like Timothy, that people around you, the community around you, speaks well of you. They not that have that reputation of like when they call your name, are like, oh yeah, we seen this wanted picture in the post office. You want to be a person of great character. And Timothy was this teenager from a mixed family. His mom was Jewish and a Christian, and his dad was a Greek. We don't know if he was a follower of Christ. Most scholars don't believe he was a follower of Christ, and that Paul becomes like this spiritual mentor father to him. And so he's from a mixed religious background, but also a mixed race background of Jewish and Greek. And he's growing up, he has a heart for God. And Paul sees him and says, I want that dude to come with me on a missionary journey. And we have teams that go out and do missions trips all the time here out of New Life Fellowship. And sometimes we go overseas, sometimes we stay in the United States. And when we have teams that go out on mission trips, we have an application that they have to fill out. Fill this out, you know, all this stuff. And we have certain requirements that we ask of them. Never once in our application process do we ask if you're circumcised or require that you have to be circumcised to go on this trip. Timothy, poor guy, has to be circumcised to go on a missions trip. So all we ask is you raise your own funds. So you're welcome that we don't ask that of you. So, but he goes out and Paul wants with him to go out on this missionary journey. Later on, Timothy is now in his probably late 20s. Paul sends him to a town called Ephesus, which was a messed up area. And they started a church there, and Timothy is now the pastor of a church in Ephesus. Next, you have Epaphroditus. We don't know much about him as much as we know about Timothy. Really, what we know about him is what we read today, is that he was a guy in the church at Philippi, and they send him to Rome to take some supplies and resources to Paul. While he's in Rome visiting Paul, he gets really, really sick. He almost dies while he's there. Then he gets better, and now he has a desire to go back to the church in Philippi and bless the church there. So those are the two people we're going to look at today, their lives of how what we can learn of what it means to be a life in Christ. So are you with me? All right, I asked you to turn to Philippians 2. That's where we're going to be. Philippians 2, 19 through 30. If you don't have your Bibles, we'll have it up on the screen. It says this: I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon so that I too may be cheered by news of you. So Paul's writing this. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth now as a son with a father who has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. Now, verse 25. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in service to me. So I want to share with you a couple of ways, three examples of what it means to be a person that lives for Christ. Number one, if you're taking notes, is this: a life lived in Christ is one who mentors and is mentored. Now, if you've been a part of New Life Fellowship for any amount of time, you realize that I use a lot of sports examples. And so I'm going to mention a sport example. If you're like not into sports and you're like, man, I get tired of these sports examples, you chose to come to church today, and you know that I use sometimes sports examples, so that's you. So let me ask you this. What do all these people have in common? Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Usain Bolt, Scottie Scheffler, Serena Williams. What do they all have in common? They all have a coach. Every single one of them. They're all the best of the best at what they did. Number one in the world at times at what they did. But they all had a coach. They were all under somebody helping them, teaching them, instructing them. What we see in this passage of scripture that we read today is that Paul is this mentor to both of these guys. He's pouring into the life of these two individuals, and he speaks life into them. The book of James says this about our tongue. Our tongue can either speak life or it could speak death. And Paul, listen to some of the words that Paul writes about Timothy. It says this in 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is the letter when Timothy was the pastor of this church. He says this: let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that you all may see your progress. So listen to these words. This is a mentor speaking into this young pastor, this young kid's life. He says, man, don't let people look down on you because you're young. But set an example for all believers. Begin to live your life in love, faith, and purity. Devote yourself to the reading of Scripture, to preaching the Word. Don't forget where God has called you and what God has done in your life. Man, we all need Pauls in our life that will speak life into them. And listen to what he says about Epaphroditus. He says this. He calls him brother. He calls him a fellow worker. He calls him a soldier. He calls him a minister. He's speaking life both privately and publicly into the life of these two individuals and mentoring them. So let me ask you this. Are you that to somebody else? Do you speak life into individuals? Does your words, especially if you're a parent here today, How does your life, what words do you say to your kids? Are you speaking life into them? Do you encourage them? Do you build them up? Are you setting an example of what it means to follow Jesus? I think kids catch more than what they hear, you know, or it's caught more than what it's taught is probably a better way to say it. It's what is caught. I'll say it again. Doesn't matter. They catch it, right? They see your life and they like, man, my dad follows God. Do your kids say that about you? Mom, man, she is devoted to Jesus Christ. And so we have a responsibility as parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, whatever, neighbors, to show and speak life into this next generation. And we as believe, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ here today, if you serve Jesus, you should mentor somebody. Mentoring is basically this, is taking somebody is maybe new to the faith or is not as far along in the faith as you, and you're just like, hey, let's get together and let's talk about God. That's it. You don't have to be an expert in theology. You don't have to know all the words, all the what is sanctification, what is glorification, what is justification. You don't need to know all those things. All you need to know is, man, Jesus changed my life. It looks like he's changed your life. Let's talk and walk through this together. We need to mentor people, and we need to be mentored as well. We need to be people who say, man, I need help. All these characters I talked about, all these athletes that I talked about, Michael Jordan, Scottie Scheffler, all of them, they have a coach. And I guarantee they're better at their sport than their coach is. But they come under the authority of a coach. They submit under a coach and say, I have something to learn. I have blind spots in my life, and I need somebody to speak into my life and say, hey, there's an area here that you're not seeing, and I can help you with that. Are you a person that gets defensive and say, no, I don't need anybody? Or are you open for instruction? Are you open for people to criticize you? Are you open for people to instruct you and guide you and help you through difficult times? Or are you like, no, I got it. I'm good. I don't need anyone. Man, to be in Christ is to pour into somebody else, but allowing your pride to swallow your pride, allow somebody to pour into you. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian 5 days or 50 years. It doesn't matter. You're saying, man, I'm coming up. I have something to learn. I have something to grow. And I need somebody to speak into my life. In the month of August, we're going to introduce life groups. And our life groups are a lot of different ones. We have men's group, women's group. We'll have small groups on Wednesday night, all these different life groups. And the point of life group isn't the subject matter, although that's important. The point of a life group is I'm going to get into a group of small group of people, 8 to 10 people, and I'm going to learn from them and I can invest in them. That's the point. It's growing as a family together. This is great having a large crowd. Good. But you get growth when you're in small groups where you can actually give of yourself, give of your talents, give your ideas to somebody, and also receive that from somebody else. That's why we do life groups, doing life together. So I strongly encourage you to be a part of a life group. So be a mentor, be mentored. Next point is this. A life in Christ is one who serves with compassion. There are two kind of attitudes when it comes to serving. I get to serve or I have to serve. It's widely different. And the outcome is widely different of I get to serve and I have to serve. Let me give you an example of this. How many have ever had a teenage boy live in your house? Some of us had a teenage boy live in your house. A teenage boy living in your house, you say to them, hey, I need you to clean your room. What happens when they go and reluctantly clean their room? They push everything under the bed or everything under the closet, and they come out and say, I clean my room. Even before you get to the door, you smell it. You know, there's something coming out. There's like, there's a vapor. I don't know what's going on there. And you open it up, you almost pass out. You know it's not clean. It's just hidden. It's because it's a have-to spirit. Clean the room. Now, that boy is dating a girl, and that girl wants to come over and hang out, guess whose room is the cleanest room in the house? The same boy, no smell. It's probably, you know, smells of Old Spice or all over the place, but it's masked. But anyway, that's the attitude, right? It's who you're doing it for. Who you're doing it for. If mom and dad do, Susie, ooh, yeah, you know? And so our spirit, how we do things, how we serve is, man, I am doing this for God. Everything I do is for God. What is our verse today? Do nothing out of grumbling or complaining, but in everything for, you know, have this attitude, this spirit unto God. And one thing we see about both Timothy and Epaphroditus is this genuine spirit of serving others, of just serving one another. Whether it's traveling to visit Paul in Rome and desiring to come back, or whether it's Paul saying about Timothy, he was concerned for their welfare. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. That's what we read last week in chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. Why? Because we've been transformed by Christ. Because if Christ lives within me, I'm to live for him. My life, my attitude, my spirit changes. Because I'm doing it not for them, but for the glory of God. As you go into work this week, you live for the glory of God. Even though your boss may be a jerk, or the people you work with are not all that great, or you're in customer service, do it for the glory of God. And just having this attitude, I'm going to serve them for the glory of God. And I see this as well is when we look for a church. If you're new to a community and you're like, man, I want to find a church. Maybe that's you today. Maybe some of you are here today and it's like, man, I'm going to come check out this church. What we tend to do when we check out a church, and this is not wrong. Hear me, I'm not saying this is wrong. But what we look is, all right, what can they offer my kids? Do they have a good youth program or a good worship style? Is the teaching good? Is it biblically based? You know, all those things, is it run spiritually and biblically and all those things? All great things. All questions we need to ask when we are wanting to be a part of a church family, right? But as equally, if not more important than that, is when we come to a church, we need to ask, how can I serve that church? How can I be a help to the people in that church? We don't think that way. We usually come into a church and says, what can they do to serve me? But we also need to have an attitude of, what can I do to help and serve them? When I was in college, Bev and I were dating, and we were going to school in Santa Cruz, California, and we were looking for a church to be a part of, and there were a lot of churches in that area to be a part of. We chose to go to this church in Felton, California. Anybody know where Felton is? All right, one person. Oh, a couple people know where Felton is. To Redwood Christian Center, where there was a church of about 30 people. Every single one of them were over the age of 60. It was just that kind of a church. And it was a powerful church. But we were the youngest people there. These college students were coming into this church. And we said, yeah, let's go here. And man, we were like gold in that church. All these elderly people are like, oh, young people, you know, like we were rock stars, you know. And so we were attending a church for a while to us and said, hey, we want to start a youth program. We were wondering if you guys can lead our youth program. And we were looking around like, there ain't no youth kids in this church, you know. There's no one here. Turns out it was his kids. You know, he had two kids that were teenagers. And they wanted to have a youth program. So we started out with these two kids and started investing in them. We were new to this whole thing, and God blessed it and started to grow. Soon we had 12, 15 kids coming to this youth program. 15 kids would never step in the church on a Sunday morning, but they came to the youth program. And so we got to pour into them. And then that opportunity would never have came if I came to the church saying, what is in it for me? There was nothing at that church that was in it for me on the outside. Nothing. But we came with an attitude of saying, man, we want to serve. And we were blessed because of it. We need to be people who just say, I want to serve. How can I contribute? How can I bless this people in this church? And then number three, a life lived in Christ is one who gives honor. Look at Paul encourages the church to do for both Timothy and Epaphroditus. Verse 29, so receive him in the Lord with all joy. And look at this, and honor such men. Honor such men. Paul is encouraging the church. Hey, listen. Timothy and my boy E here deserve some honor. They're serving faithfully. They're doing things. Honor them. And this is an encouragement to us as the body of believers that we need to be people who show those who serve faithfully honor. We need to honor them. And 9 times out of 10, the people who are serving are not looking for recognition. They're just serving God. But we need to express honor and gratitude to those who serve us on a regular basis. We have people here at New Life Fellowship, may not even know their names, who serve faithfully. Do you know Amy serves in the nursery and preschool every single Sunday because we don't have enough volunteers? So she's there every single Sunday watching your little ones, teaching them about Jesus, having fun with these kids, and she's serving faithfully. We need to show her honor, gratitude. My boy Jim over here, he probably doesn't want me to mention this. Jim's the most encouraging man I've ever met. Do you know that Jim, every Wednesday, comes to church around 5:30, takes the van and goes, picks up teenagers all over the valley and brings them to youth? You need to show some honor to people who are just working behind the scenes, doing things. I want to thank all the people who serve our coffee, especially for the 9 a.m. Man, they need it. They serve the coffee faithfully. Our greeters, we have a team security that's walking around keeping people safe. Tiffany, who's always Bev's right-hand man back there helping in the kids' church. All these different things. So people who's just serving God. Just serving God. Just doing it. Not to be recognized, not to do. Do you know Tom has been our sound man since Moses? He's been there, right? Just in our worship team and media team, sound man, they come during the week and practice a couple hours during the week, show up on Sunday, you know, hey, plug it in, what song are you singing? They practice. And so we just need to show some honor where honor is due. And so there's so many more teachers, deacons, elders, prayer warriors. Let me say this. We have prayer partners that every Sunday pray for people. But you know, we have close to 50 people who receive a prayer list every week that pray for you. 50 people in this church every week receive a newsletter, email, that says, here's some prayer needs that we are aware of. That's when you put in a prayer well or prayer needs, we write those down. These 50 people gather together and they're not together, but they're praying wherever they're at for you. For you. That's how much they love you and care about you. So, man, Paul encourages through the Holy Spirit to show honor to such people. Listen, gratitude unexpressed is worthless. Express gratitude. Tell them things. You may have somebody in your life that has invested in your life, spoken in your life, done something for you, and you never told them thanks. Tell them thanks this week. Just go up, man, thank you. Send them a text. Write them an encouraging note or whatever. Just express how much they mean to you. So, 3 examples of a life that has been transformed by Christ, of living in Christ. They are mentors and they are mentored. They serve with compassion, and we should show them honor. That's the how-to. I want to give the most important thing to the, I'm going to say today is what I'm going to say next, okay? Is the why. Why are we doing this? Why should we be people who live like a Timothy? Why should we people live like Paul? Why is Timothy willing to be circumcised as a teenager to go on a missions trip? Why would he do that? Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Jesus has rescued us from darkness and brought us into light. We were lost in our sins. The Bible says, for all have sinned. All have sinned. That means you and me. All is all. Have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, His perfection. All of us fall short. But Jesus has come and He came to rescue us, to save us, to redeem us, to call us out of that. And when He died on that cross and said, it is finished, that accounted for us. And at that point, He took our sins and He gave us His righteousness. And He died in our sin and He went to the grave and defeated sin and death and rose again from the grave, that whosoever calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved. And I called upon that name. Maybe you have called upon that name. And because of that, He lives within me. The power of God, the Spirit of God lives within me, that I am not the same person. The old is gone. The new has come. And I don't do these things out of paying Him back, because I can never pay Him back. I do this out of this heartfelt love of God, that I've been transformed because I knew where I was and now where I am and where I am going. And it's all because of Jesus Christ, not by anything that I have done, because my works are filth, but because of what He has done. And out of that love and grace and power, I live for Him and live to serve others, to mentor others, to be mentored, to honor, to give, to just rejoice in who Jesus is. That's why we do it. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And so my question is, have you experienced Jesus? Have you had that experience, that what the Bible calls a born-again experience of being transformed by His grace and power? Have you received that? Have you called upon the name of the Lord? Not, yeah, I went to church. No, have you called upon Jesus? Is He the Lord of your life? I'm going to ask our worship team to come up, and as they come up, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And I want to pray for us today. The most important question is this question I'm going to ask you. Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? Have you given Him your life? And so I'm going to ask you to bow your head in prayer with me. And just right here, right now, we're gonna pray. And I encourage you to pray this in your words, because just don't repeat my words. You can, but it's got to come from your heart. It's got to come from your heart. It's not about joining a church. It's about receiving what Christ has done, being transformed, being that new creation. So would you pray with me? Jesus, I come to You. I know I'm a sinner. I've been trying it all on my own. I've been failing after failure. I just come and I surrender all to You. Forgive me of the sin in my life and just restore unto me a new spirit, a right spirit. Make me a new creation. Redeem me by Your love and by Your grace. Call me into that place where You want me to be. I surrender it all to You, O God. Make me a new person. And I receive You today by faith. I receive You in my life. And I look forward to serving you and following you all the days of my life. From this moment on, I'm under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the grace you've given me today. Thank you for the love. Thank you for the mercy. Thank you for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to close with this song, but before we close with the song, just because you said a prayer doesn't mean it ends there. It's a journey with Jesus. We have classes every Sunday at 9 a.m. called the Next Step class. Be a part of that class or join a life group. If a friend brought you to church today, get with them. Be mentored. Walk with someone in this journey with Jesus. We encourage you. We want to be there to help you with that. And so let's close this song.